A faithful servant is one who will not compromise. You see, compromise basically is an agreement that you reach by adjusting your beliefs or your principles. In other words, it's changing your mind or aligning with something you believe to be wrong or you know to be wrong to gain an advantage, perhaps, or to make yourself feel better. And it's compromise. A faithful Christian will not compromise. That's what I want to talk to you about here this morning. A faithful Christian will not compromise. Just like a faithful soldier will not compromise, a faithful Christian will not compromise. Now, for a believer to compromise means that a believer adjusts their biblical views or principles, whether it's out of emotions or to, I guess you say, out of ego, whatever the case may be. You adjust your biblical principles to fit in to the world around you or the situation around you. Loved ones, God's Word is always the standard. We have to follow the Word of God. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the results of compromise. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to me, if you would, to the book of Joshua chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 15 when you get there, Joshua chapter 9. But I want to talk about the results of compromise. What happens when we compromise the Word of God or the principles found in God's Word? What takes place? Beginning in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 9, it says, "And Joshua made peace with them." He's talking about the Gibeonites. And as we go through this message, we're going to go back and see who they are and what took place. But he says, "And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephata and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us, and I pray as we consider this portion of Scripture that you will open up our hearts to your Word. Help us to get a good understanding of your Word this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll work in our hearts. Provide whatever spiritual teaching or whatever need each heart has here this morning. I pray you provide it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Results of compromise. I'm going to give you 8 of them. So if you have pen and paper, get ready. I'm going to write these down and give you 8 results of compromise, because they're here. There are warnings. Pay attention. More than anything else, I hope and pray that you see that it's just not worth it. Compromising is just not worth it. Now let's begin here. We're in Joshua chapter 9, and let's go to verse 3. Notice what happened. It says, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." So let's get into this morning. What we find is that Joshua and the Israelites, as they're going into the land that God had promised them, as they are removing the inhabitants. That's what God told them to do, by the way. Deuteronomy 7. If you have your Bibles, let me just turn over, if you would, or if you're taking notes. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 7. Because I want you to see the command that the Lord had given the Israelites when they went into the land. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou, When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And here's the reasoning. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. They were told, they were commanded, that when they went into the land, they were to remove the inhabitants and they were to possess the entire land as a nation. That's what God commanded them to do. What we find here in the book of Joshua chapter 9 is that the command was broken, not necessarily willfully, but it was broken. They compromised. They made a treaty with a group of people that were living in the land. Now this morning, I have 8 results of the compromise. Some other time I may talk to you about the warnings of compromise. But this morning, let me give you 8 results in the life of the Israelites that took place. And by the way, will probably take place in your life if you compromise with the world as well. Number one, it was disobedience. Disobedience. We just read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, where they were told not to make any treaties with the people in the land. This was God's command. And by the way, it was not cruel. Abraham was promised the land several hundred years earlier, but he was told he could not have it because the iniquity of the people was not yet full. In other words, God was paying attention, and it was not time yet. Their sin, it was not ready to be judged yet. But now it was time. So God was allowing the Israelites to go into the land, and he was going to bring judgment upon the people of the land, and they were to remove them from the land. No treaties were to be made. No alliances were to be formed with the people of the land. That was just a strict rule that God had given unto them. You know, anytime we break God's law, it's sin. Anytime. 1 John chapter 1. Let me turn over there. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 1. Gives us what I would probably say is the best description of sin. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Sin is the transgression of the law. That word transgress means to break or to violate. Sin is when you break the law or violate the law. Any violation of the law is sin before God. Now, we're not talking about man's law, we're talking about God's law. Anytime we violate God's law, we sin. So, for the Israelites, this was disobedience. You see, they compromised, and even though it may have seemed to be minor, what I mean by that is the Gibeonites were no threat to them. The Gibeonites didn't have big armies, they weren't powerful like some of the other people. So it may not have seemed like a big threat, it was still sin. It was still wrong because it went against God's word. You know, often we compromise because we don't think it's a big deal. That's why we compromise. That's not so bad. Well, anytime we violate God's law, it's sin. You know, people categorize lies. You know, white lie. There is no categorization of lies in the Bible. It's sin. You lie, you lie. See, what we have to remember is that any compromise at all is disobedience to God. Anytime we go contrary to God's word is disobedience to God. We must walk with God and look to Him. So that's the first result of their compromise. The second one is dissatisfaction. Look in Joshua chapter 9. Notice what took place in verse 18. It says, "And the children of Israel smote them not." See, they found out that they had been taken. They'd been deceived. These people were good. They dressed the part. They came in. They were good actors. They probably could have made a movie if they had all the technology, but they didn't. They came in and they played the part, deceived Joshua, all the leaders of Israel. Unfortunately, Joshua and the leaders of Israel didn't do probably the investigation they should have done. And 3 days afterwards, they went out and they found these people were actually living down the street. They weren't so far after all, or in the next valley over. And then they went and investigated. I read where someone put it this way. Had they investigated 3 days before, they wouldn't have been in this trouble. But like often happens, they just made a decision. Okay. Now, I've often wondered if it was maybe an emotional decision because these people appear to be weak and harmless and helpless and in trouble because they appear to be from a long distance, not living in the land. By the way, you can get in trouble if you make all your decisions based upon what you see. That's what they did. They made their decision based upon what they could see. That was a poor decision. Folks, we got to make our decisions based upon the Word of God, what God tells us. And so they made their decision based upon emotions, maybe a little bit of ego too. I mean, here these people are coming and saying they're from a far country, coming to see you, Joshua, and all you leaders of Israel, because we've heard how great your God is and what's been taking place. And they come and they bow down before him and say, well, please don't hurt us or harm us. We know you're powerful. And maybe that played on the ego a little bit, you know, helped distract them from what they should have been focusing on, which was making an investigation, making sure they were not going against God's word. Well, what happened was they made this deal, they made this alliance, and it says after 3 days they went and visited the land, they found them, they couldn't smote them, they couldn't destroy them, they couldn't drive them out, because they had made a promise to them. And they had to keep that promise. So now we find some dissatisfaction. Notice it says there in verse 18, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured. Now I know none of you ever murmur. Just the Israelites murmured, right? They're the only ones that murmur. They murmured. They didn't like it. They were upset. They didn't agree with what had taken place. They began to murmur because they could not remove the Gibeonites from the land. It was a foolish promise, but it was a promise nonetheless. They had to keep it. You see, compromise never lives up to the deal, I guess is the way I'll put it. There's always a catch. You know, the devil will encourage us to compromise, and we think, oh, it's going to be good, things are going to be fine. There's always a catch there. It never lives up to the deal, never is as good as it seems to be, and that's why there's trouble there. This compromise didn't work out. They were dissatisfied. Number three, they were discouraged now. You know, once you get dissatisfied, what happens? You can get discouraged. We find in verse 18 that they murmured against the princes. Now, they were discouraged. They complained. That's what murmuring is. It's to complain. So they were dissatisfied because they couldn't move them out. And then they began to complain about it. They were unhappy and they expressed it in their words. Maybe they just murmured back home. Oh, I can't believe those Israelite leaders. Maybe they murmured about Joshua. Maybe they murmured, how could they make this deal? How could they do this? And they began to murmur because they did not like their situation and nothing could be done about it. That's what it came down to. They were stuck now. They had compromised. They had made a treaty where God told them not to. And now they're discouraged because they were stuck in it. You know, our life, kind of like this, can be affected by compromise. You know, let me give you an example. Let's just say you know there's something you should not do. Let's just say you say, well, I'll just do it once or twice, or I'll just ignore it once in my life. Well, when you break God's law, that fellowship between you and the Lord is also going to break. Now, if you're saved, you're still going to remain saved, but that relationship is going to be strained, and you're going to become discouraged because you're not doing what is right. You're not living the way God would want you to live. And this will produce discouragement. You see, discouragement often comes in after the fact, after we've made some poor decisions or after some of the choices we've made. You know, there are a lot of Christians that are discouraged this morning. I hope you're not here. If you are, you can seek the Lord's forgiveness. But a lot are discouraged because of compromise. That's it. They gave in, and guess what? They lost. They thought it was going to be all right. They thought they could handle it. They thought it was okay. And it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to. And they got themselves into some trouble. There's Christians sitting at home this morning, not in church where they should be, because of that reason right there. They gave in, they lost, they're discouraged. Some say, well, how can I go back to church? Well, guess what? That's where you need to be. You need to get back to God and then get back into a church that's sound and get encouraged and challenged again and walk with the Lord. But this led to discouragement. Number four, it led to danger. Look what took place in verse 18. It says here, the congregation, notice they murmured, but notice who they murmured against. Against the princes. The people not only complained, but there appeared to be what I would call a rift starting to take place, a divide. You see, they were complaining against the leaders. It wasn't just complaining in general. The murmuring was taking place against the leaders. They were upset and they questioned the decision of these men. And by the way, they're probably right to be upset. It was a poor decision. And they didn't like it. You see, these leaders compromised. And these people now were getting a little bit uneasy. They didn't like the situation. You know, when you think about it, a revolt could have ensued. There could have been rebellion. They could have said, we want to do it our way. You guys don't know what you're talking about, what you're doing. I personally think it's by God's grace that the nation was held together. By God's grace, they didn't fall apart. And by the way, I think of churches sometimes. You know, someone once said, in America anyway, the biggest threat to churches is within, not without. Most of your churches split over problems and situations and gripes, and sometimes they split and you go back and talk with them, they have no idea why they split. You know, it was a split. Then one person was mad at another person, pretty soon people took sides, and next thing you know, the church is split. Division, strife. Well, that's what threatened the Israelites here. There was some division. They began to murmur. You know what compromise does? Here's the thought here. It never affects just one person, because we live amongst people. When you compromise, it's going to affect the others around you. Whether it's your family members, whether it's your friends, whether it's co-workers, whether it's church members. When you choose to compromise and choose to, go against your biblical principles and beliefs and choose to go the way of the world, then guess what? Others are going to be affected. Maybe your children, maybe your parents, maybe siblings, maybe your spouse. But they're going to be affected by the compromise. It's going to hurt them as well, not just you. And that's what we find here. This affected the entire nation. Those leaders made a poor decision. Eventually it trickled on down. Everyone was hurt. Everyone was upset. People murmured, and the problem almost imploded the nation. Number five, it was a distraction. Distraction. I told you I'm going to go through these quick this morning. A distraction. How many of you distracted easy? Or easily, I guess is the right way. You know, I've had times where I've read the Bible, and I get finished, and I think, what did I just read? Because I hear everything. It seems like when I'm reading the Bible, sometimes I can hear everything outside, I can hear everything here, and I'm just easily distracted. What happened because of their compromise, they were distracted. Their responsibility was to take the land. That's what they were called to do. This group of people was led out of Israel, or out of Egypt, excuse me, into the land. They had went through the wilderness as far as being children, being kids. They had went through that wilderness time, and it was their call to take the land. That was their responsibility. And what happened when they compromised, they were forced to deal with something else. They got distracted. Notice Joshua 9, verse 19. He says, "But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them." Okay, so God had told them they have to get rid of everyone in the land. And now because of this treaty, they can't deal with these people. They can't force them out. They can't do anything with them. They can't touch them. So now there's a distraction here. They had to watch over these people. They had to take care of these people. These people had to be brought in, basically, and be part of the country, so to speak. And notice what their decision was. It says in verse 20, "This we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood, drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them." So their decision was basically, we'll just bring them in, and they can be servants, and they can work, and we'll care for them. You know what happened here? The Israelites gained responsibility, added responsibility. Which to their credit, I'll give it to their credit, they made the first mistake. The second mistake would have been driving them out. They didn't make that second mistake. They took care of their, responsibilities. They did what was right. Folks, there's several lessons here, but here's a few of them. One, make sure you're careful when you make promises. Because a promise before God is a promise. We should keep it. You promise someone, do everything you can to keep your promise. And secondly, if you make a mistake, if you ever make a poor decision and you make a promise that you look and say, that was a bad promise, well, guess what? Do your best to keep it and get through it and get out of it in the correct way. Don't just neglect it. You know, that's no good. That would have created creates more problems. That would have created more problems had they tried to do this. I think the Lord would have dealt with them even harsher had they chosen to do this. But instead, we find that they brought the people in and they began to, as far as accepting them as their servants. You know what we find? Compromise just added a burden to the nation as a whole. They had to deal with this problem as far as not being able to take the land, and then they had to move forward. Here's a thought I have for you on this. When you compromise, you're going to probably bring a whole lot more into your life than you planned on. And sometimes it may be things that will last the rest of your life. You know this generation, the Gibeonites, when this generation passed on, the Gibeonites were still there. The Gibeonites remained in the land, it's believed, until Saul came along and he wiped them out in 1 Samuel. And he answered to God for it. But they remained there. They were always there. A constant reminder of their compromise. You know, when you compromise, you're just going to bring more into your life. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:1, I'm going to turn over there, Galatians 5, And here's a thought for you on compromise, going back into the world and to sin. Paul here, to the church at Galatia, Galatia here in Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, Paul here encouraged the believers that once they were set free from sin, and by the way, that means saved. That means they repented of their sins, they believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, they're saved. Once they were saved, he said they were to live for Christ, not go back to the old life that they once had. In other words, they weren't to compromise. They weren't to go back to the old ways. They were to separate from those old ways. And he tells them there, or encouraged them there, to stand fast in the liberty that had made them free. Now, I think back to the people of Israel and underneath Joshua's leadership. Basically, you know what they should have done? They should have stood fast. They shouldn't have made no alliances with anybody, no treaties. They should have carried out the work that God had for them in God's power and God's strength and God's might, and they would have avoided that distraction. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, the problems that come into our life are due to our own making. They are. Our own decisions, our own choices. We bring in these problems, and guess what? We got to deal with them. Distractions that we produce in our life. Well, they had distraction that they had to deal with. Another one on distraction is the church. You know, the church's responsibility is to take the gospel to the lost. But we began to compromise as a church, and guess what? We're going to have all sorts of fires to put out. We're going to have all sorts of problems to deal with. And we'll lose sight of what we're really to be dealing with, and that's taking the gospel to the lost. Reaching a lost world. So, we find they were distracted. Number six, notice a delay what took place. Now, I'm not going to turn you to any passage in Joshua 9. I think the whole chapter kind of covers this. But here's my thought on this. The progress was stopped. Instead of continuing in the land and dealing with the people there and taking over the land, the Bible says they had to stop and deal with this problem. You know what happens when you compromise? When you compromise, you hinder spiritual growth often. You know, if you're saved here this morning and the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart to produce the fruit of the Spirit. But when you begin to compromise, let's say you know right and wrong, and you choose that you're going to be selfish and do your own thing, you know what the Holy Spirit has to do? He's going to produce fruit, but you know what He's going to do? He's going to work to convict you of your error so you get right with Him. So that way you can be blessed. You know, it's a pity that there are some Christians that it seems like, I'm sure the Holy Spirit is doing nothing but convicting over and over and over and over, because they're continuing to compromise and compromise and compromise. And in that time, instead of growing in the Lord, they're just having to get things right, having to get things right. You see, folks, God wants us to grow. And part of growing is separating from the world so the Spirit can work in our heart and develop that fruit. That's there. You see, there was delay. They had to stop going forward. And sometimes as believers, if we compromise or we go back in the world, we're going to stop growing in the Lord. That's just what's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit will work in our heart to produce conviction so we'll get right with God and we can once again grow. But until then, there's going to be a delay. Also, compromise will hinder your service to God. You know, I mentioned a little bit ago, there's a lot of people this morning that are probably at home that probably should be in church. You know what happens when you compromise? I'll speak for example. I know what it's like to say, well, I'll go next Sunday, or I'll go next Sunday. Next thing you know, a month of Sundays go by. Well, I'll go next Sunday. You know, when you begin to compromise, it's easy to stay away. You see, you delay. You just put off to tomorrow what should be taken care of right now. Began to set it aside. And the Israelites had to deal with this now. They were slowed down. Their work came to what I would call a halt. Number seven, they had doubts. Go back with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me just point out to you what they knew. What they knew, a couple things that they knew that would take place. Deuteronomy 7, we read it here, but let me read it again. Verse 4 says, "For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods." And then it says here, "So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." That's God's word. The Israelites had just made a treaty, even though it wasn't willfully, it was still a treaty with people in the land. And what did God's word say? The wrath of God was going to come upon them. You know, just a few chapters previous, we find in the book of Joshua, there was a man named Achan. And that man sinned against God because God, when they went into the city of Jericho, he told them, don't take any of the plunder for yourself. Well, he did. He took some of it and he hid it. Well, eventually, we find that the nation was not blessed, and he himself eventually was destroyed because of his sin. These Israelites knew that. You know what happened? I imagine once they realized that they had made this deal with these people in the land, they probably began to wonder, will God continue to bless us? See, they knew what happened. They knew the result of sin. Maybe they began to say, hey, God, are we His chosen people? Are we going to receive the land? Is He going to give us power to continue to do His work? You see, when there is sin, there will be doubts. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, you may allow sin in your life, and guess what? Next thing you're going to say, am I saved? See, that's a doubt that will pop up because there's sin there. Or you may say, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I going where God wants me to go? Sometimes it's due to compromise. We've allowed sin in, and that's going to produce some of those doubts because, I'll tell you what, folks, we can't live in the world and expect God's blessings. And that's what it just comes down to. And I think believers know that in their heart. And so when there is sin allowed in the life, then there's going to be those doubts of, will God bless again? So here's what compromise does. It creates confusion. Have you ever seen someone confused when they're traveling? Have you ever been confused when you're traveling? You usually slow down, right? At least try to figure out the problem, see where you're going to go. Spiritually, that can happen as well. When we allow sin in, we get confused of what we should be doing, and we're just going to slow down. Number 8, here's the last one, defeat. Now, they were not completely and utterly defeated, but the people would not receive the full blessing that God had for them. That's what happened with this compromise. See, God had promised to give them the entire land. He said, it's yours. This generation, I truly believe this generation of people could have went in there and received all of it. But this compromise, because of this, they would not receive the entire land. The Gibeonites would have their portion now. Eventually, we know some other mistakes were made later. But the Gibeonites would remain in the land. They'd have a portion or a part of it. And the blessings for the Israelites would be limited. So that's what compromise does. It limits our blessings. Now, like I said, it wasn't utter defeat. But they didn't receive what God had for them. You know, when we live in sin or we choose to, I guess, say compromise and go against biblical teachings, against biblical, principles. If you're saved, God's going to remain your Heavenly Father. That's not going to change. God's going to remain your Heavenly Father because you're saved by His grace. You're saved by God's grace and through faith. If you're saved here this morning, that's the only way you can be saved. And you're saved by God's grace through faith, and so you still belong to God. But God will not be able to bless you like a Heavenly Father. That's what's going to happen. God will have to perhaps chastise you. He may have to correct you. He may have to direct you and get you back on course. But He will not have the ability or He will not bless you like a child because of your sin or because of the compromise that's in your life. And see, that's the problem with compromise. We may not have utter defeat, but we're going to be defeated in some areas in our life because of the sin that's allowed in our heart. So here's how I'm going to close this. It's best not to compromise. It's what it comes down to. It's best not to compromise. Let me give you an illustration I think is good that hopefully will encourage you. The late Ronald Reagan, president in the 80s of our country, the late Ronald Reagan, was considered to be a good negotiator, an excellent negotiator, they said, in meetings, whether it was with world leaders or people within his administration. They said he was an excellent negotiator. And there was one rule. He had several rules that he worked by, but here was one of them I thought was interesting. This is one of the rules that he worked by. He said he knew when to leave the discussion. And here's how he described it. He said that beforehand, before any meeting would take place, he would determine the line that he would not cross. And he said, and when it got time to get that line, or that line would come close, he said he would not cross the line and he would end the meeting. And that's how he negotiated. Now, of course, there were several times it never even came close to that line and things were done. But what it amounts to is he knew that there was a line drawn that he would not cross. No matter what the meeting was about, he would draw a line, whether it was inside and he knew it in his mind or had it written down, he would not cross that line. You know what it was? He knew there was a line that he would not compromise. That's what it came down to. Now this morning, let me bring this back to the scriptures. In your life, there should be some lines drawn. There should be some lines that you know, I'm not going to cross those. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, those lines are set. And this morning, I encourage you to make those lines based upon God's Word. Not what seems right, because think of the Israelites. I imagine it seemed right to make that treaty. Right? I mean, those people were no harm, at least they thought they were no harm. So it seemed right to make the treaty. So don't make your lines based upon what seems good, because we can be deceived. Also, don't make your lines based upon what you see. Make them based upon what God's Word says. You see, our eyes can deceive us as well. That's what happened to the Israelites. They put on all that clothing to make it appear that they were from a long ways off, that they were no threat, and they were deceived. Had they went back to God's Word, that would not have taken place. They would not have made a treaty. They would have done what was right. So don't make your line based upon what you see. Also, don't make it based upon what others say is correct. Because guess what? Some people can be wrong. They may have a good idea, but it may not be right. I've been given good advice in my life, but I've also been given lousy advice. And you may receive some lousy advice at times. So make sure your lines are based upon God's Word. What God has determined to be right, what God has determined to be wrong from His Word. And I'll give you three of them. Begin with salvation, folks, by grace and through faith. We're not saved through any other manner. The Bible doesn't tell us to find our own way. The Bible doesn't tell us to earn it ourselves. The way is Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We're to come through Him for salvation. According to Ephesians 2:8-9, it's by grace and through faith. It's not by works, folks. It's not by what we can do, what we will do, or what we hope to do. It's all based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, we're not going to run around boasting that I got here because I did this, or I got here because of this. We're all going to be there for the same reason, because of Jesus Christ and our faith in Christ. So make sure you're saved. Make sure you have believed on Jesus Christ for salvation. Secondly, separate from the world. Be willing to live unto God. Not based upon what a pastor tells you to do, but based upon what the Word of God says. Read it, study it, know it, and then live by the principles you find in the Bible. Thirdly, serve the Lord. Be faithful to God. Serve Him. Give your allegiance to God. Look to God for all areas of your life and be faithful to the Lord. So, in closing, I encourage you to live by God's Word. Do not compromise, because it's just not worth it.